The conservative commentator David Brooks, whom we often hear from on this program, writes in the current edition of the Weekly Standard about the American left and Iraq. Not surprisingly, he's critical. According to Brooks, when it comes to Iraq, the left produces evasions, distractions, and gestures, a miasma of insults and verbiage. Well, joining us to comment on that particular blast of verbiage is Matt Rothschild, who's the editor of a venerable publication of the American left, The Progressive Magazine, joins us from Madison, Wisconsin. Matt Rothschild, there's a pretty serious split here in Washington between those who favor unilateral war against Iraq soon and those who prefer multilateral war against Iraq later. Where is the voice of the anti-war movement here?
Well, the voice of the anti-war movement really isn't present in the debates in Washington, unfortunately, but it's all over the place around the country. There are protests and demonstrations from the East Coast to the West. The case that the left presents right now, I think, is the most compelling and the most moral case on this issue of Iraq.
Well, the case, according to advocates of war against Iraq, of the left, is the world can live with Saddam Hussein. Don't sweat it. Is that what it is?
Well, that's not exactly our case. Our case is that this war is illegal. It's against international law. It's against just war precepts of Christian theology. And beyond that, we don't think this war is going to make America any safer. We think it's going to make the United States more imperiled. I mean, just imagine images of little kids in Iraq being killed day in, day out on Al Jazeera. Is that somehow going to make us a little more safe when it comes to our image in the Arab and Muslim world? I don't think so.
But I think the challenge that David Brooks, writing from the right, put to left-wing commentators was, tell me about Saddam Hussein. Come to grips with him. What is the world's obligation towards this man? What must it do about his regime, if anything?
I don't see why there's anything wrong with keeping him in the box that Secretary of State Madeleine Albright says he's still in, and that the current Secretary of State, Colin Powell, used to say he was in until a few months ago, when all of a sudden he sang a different tune. I mean, look at this is a guy who is not a direct, imminent threat to the United States. There is not a high risk that he's somehow going to attack the United States in a suicide bombing effort, as George W. Bush suggested in his draft authorization of force to Congress. I don't see this guy as a suicide bomber. I see him as a power monger. Let's look back at 1991, when right then he did have weapons of mass destruction at the ready. He could have launched chemical or biological weapons against the United States. He chose not to. Why? Because the United States said, if you did so, you're a dead man. Why don't we think he's able to be deterred right now? Why do we think he's suicidal right now? That doesn't make sense to me.
You say that there are protests, anti-war protests, taking place all around the country. Where are the protests? Tell me, who are the leaders of this protest movement that people might point to right now?
It's a protest movement without major leaders in the way that people look back at Jerry Rubin and Abby Hoffman back in the 1960s. And that is a plus and a minus. It's a minus because the media can't affix their cameras on one or two individuals, and back then they were all male, basically. But the plus is that there are spontaneous protests around the country in local communities led by local citizens who feel themselves outraged by what the U.S. government is planning to do. So I think that people in Washington are going to be surprised. The Bush administration is going to be surprised by the magnitude of the protests that will ensue if war starts, and the kind of protests that are happening right now to try to prevent the war from starting in the first place.
Is part of the problem here that for the left, revolutionary movements in the past held a real romantic allure? There were posters of Che Guevara all over the place years ago. Today, it's not Marxism or Maoism that people are talking about. It's mostly radical Islamism or Baathism in the case of Iraq. Is it hard for the left to relate to those movements and find anything romantic or appealing about them?
Well, I should hope they don't find anything appealing about radical Islam or religious fanaticism of any stripe. I think that is one of the longest polluted rivers in the world, and to drink from that river is poison. And so I don't see the left cozying up to those causes. And the fact that right now is a time of unromanticism on the left, I think, is a good thing. We don't need to, you know, rally around some huge banner or quote from our dog-eared copies of the Communist Manifesto or the German ideology or Mao's Little Red Book to get there. Instead, we can just talk about what we think a better world would look like in a more modest way.
Matt Rothschild, thank you very much for talking with us today.
My pleasure, Robert.
Matt Rothschild is the editor of The Progressive magazine. He spoke to us from Madison, Wisconsin.